wanted to reconfirm what Ravi had written. I got it. He says, they think of us often, not all the time, only often, only sometimes they think of us. Worship Indra is fantastic. Thank you. As you might have heard, Pastor Ray and Pastor Carolina in Wanganui with the Tabernacle Tour. Lord, we pray for them. Lord, we pray for the churches that they are preaching in today. We pray for the congregation, Lord. Lord, we pray that you will bless them. You will enable them to grow in you and to flourish in you, Lord God. And Lord, we pray that you will bring Pastor Ray, Pastor Carolyn safely back home to our Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't know about you all, but the last week and a half or so has been quite disturbing. I came across three instances of lives being taken in broad daylight. One was killed in a train, stabbed multiple times over her chest. One was beheaded in a motel, and his head was being kicked around for fun. And one was gunned down, shot on his throat, blood flowing from his neck like water from a fully open dam. And that's just the three that I can name. There's plenty. I'm sure you would have heard more than this. This violence is everywhere, isn't it? And I find it very difficult to process these emotions. I don't want these things to happen. And I find it very difficult to speak about these things. But hey, we have to address. The very first act of violence, the first act of bloodshed, came from the world's first family. After Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord, and after they were cast out from the Garden of Eden, turns out their sons chose not to live in harmony. Cain grew jealous of Abel, and he let that jealousy turn into rage, consumed him. He struck down his own brother, and in that moment, violence became a natural act, a natural fruit of sin. And that sin did not just stay outside the garden. It followed Adam and Eve into their home, created a ruckus, a chaos. The world's first family also ended up being the world's first crime scene. This act of violence, this act of bloodshed, did not happen in a war zone. Did not happen in a combat field. It happened. It was born in the heart of a man. Three thousand, four thousand years later, we are still here. We still see the destruction that jealousy causes. We still see the destruction that hatred brings. We still see the chaos, the mayhem that these emotions trigger in our lives. Now, violence is a visible symptom. We see an act going on right in front of us. So I guess most would stay away from it. But there's a bunch of invisible symptoms as well. The disease of sin shows itself in other ways. living in this world in 2025, you have symptoms of corrupt leadership. You have breakdown of families. You have injustice towards the poor. And we can go on and on with this. Violence is that kind of sin that makes the headlines, right? But what about the invisible ones? What about that first seed that caused that springs in a man's heart? Scripture is clear. Isaiah 1 verse 23. Your rulers are rebels, partners with thieves. They all love bribes and chase after gifts. They do not defend the cause of the fatherless. The widow's case does not come before them. This is what happens when leaders love their power more than justice. The cheating in boardrooms, the lies on balance sheets, manipulation of contracts, exploitation of people. We can go on and on. Scripture says God detests dishonest scales. Corruption might not necessarily stab a chest, but it pierces a nation's heart. Oppression does not really pull a trigger, but it crushes the poor under unbearable weight. This world is full of invisible violence. Maybe you get to witness them every day. Maybe you get to experience. When leaders love bribes more than justice, when people love profit more than people, families start to fall apart because truth has been replaced by lies. I come from India. So 30 years ago, after coming back from school, if I wanted to watch TV, it was simple. We didn't have remote control, so we had to go press that button on the television. And we had one free-to-air channel. Between 4:30 and 5, they would air one cartoon. It was easy. No choice, nothing. You had to watch one cartoon. That was He-Man. It was my favorite cartoon. I asked people in the first service how many of them knew He-Man. Nobody said they knew it. Nobody said they even liked it. It's sort of rude. My friends who had access to cable television had more channels to watch. So they would watch the turtle. The four guys with turtle thingy on their backs. Ninja Turtles. Never got that. A few days ago, my kids asked me if they could watch a particular show or a movie on TV. And it turns out it's not that easy now. I had to go to a few places to see what that show was all about, what was the theme of that program, what kind of language was being used, what is the agenda that it's trying to push. It was too much for me. So I said, guys, let's wait for mom to come back home and we'll discuss. And I think it was a wise decision. Because it turns out entertainment is no longer entertainment. It has turned into indoctrination and all sorts of propaganda that you can possibly think of. few years ago, things that I see on TV used to shock us, right? But now it started entertaining us. We are raising a generation where truth is no longer discovered, it is invented. Invented every week. It's difficult for me to process. We are raising a generation where identity is no longer received, it is self-declared. For clarity, you are not allowed to identify as a unicorn. No. I'll have a problem with you if you do that. We live in a society where morality is no longer grounded. It is shifting sand. What started a few thousand years ago has not ended. In all likelihood, it's gotten even worse now. Dangerous and harmful agenda make their way into the human heart and cause mayhem. I'm very careful when I take my kids out. I keep monitoring who's walking in front of them, what kind of shows are going on. It's different. And it's difficult. And need to be careful. We live in what is called a postmodern society. Turns out it has its own it has its own rules, it has its own regulations, it has its own truth. The farther we move from God, the more we lose ourselves. And when we push God away from our lives, we don't just invite sin into our lives, we let it master us. Jealousy made Cain kill his brother. Pride made Pharaoh harden his heart. Greed made Judas betray Jesus. Lust brought down David. Envy drove Joseph's brothers to sell him. Anger consumed Esau. Idolatry corrupted Israel. Different sins, different problems. Result was one. They all separated from God. And I think the moral decay that we see in this world around us, this constant moving away from God, everything that we do in this world is a consequence of this postmodernism. Because postmodernism, at its core, is against the basic tenets of the Christian faith. Subjective morality, relativism, and skepticism. It tells us that there is no absolute truth. There is my truth and there is your truth. Subjective morality, relativism, and skepticism. And when there is nothing objective, when there is no objective morality, there's chaos. We read it and we see it. We see it in the breakdown of family values. We see it in the celebration of sin. We see it in violence that fills the hearts and the streets, and the confusion that fills our schools. The world says, do what you feel is right. Live your life, live your truth. Scripture says, the heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. The world says there are no absolutes. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. World says there is no right or wrong. God says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. So here we have a clash. We have a clash of ideologies. We have a clash of worldviews. We either let the culture define our morals, or we let Christ define it. We either let skepticism rule our hearts, or we let Scripture rule it. And as a church, we have a duty. We cannot blend into this confusion. We are called to shine light into this darkness, to hold fast to God's word, to the truth of his word, and to remind constantly to this world that morals are not man-made, they are God-given. All the problems we saw are everywhere. When you go to work tomorrow, there is a chance that you might be treated unfairly. You might have experienced any form of injustice in your lives. Or if you come from a place like where I come from, you would have experienced corruption in your day-to-day lives, rampant. But these are not the final words. The final word belongs to the cross. On that cross, Jesus bore the violence of men. He bore the injustice of courts, the betrayal of his friends, the corruption of leaders, and he overcame everything. That means we too can overcome. But not by our own strength, by His Spirit that lives in us. The cross is not just a symbol of suffering. It is the place where every form of sin was exposed. And yet, it is the place where God's love triumphed over every form of evil. Colossians 2 verse 15. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. On the cross, violence was answered with peace. Injustice was answered with mercy. Betrayal was answered with forgiveness. Death was answered with life. There are some things I still struggle to come to terms with. I've said this before. A few years ago, my cousin, he was driving his motorbike and he was knocked off by a truck in the back, flung a few meters in the air and died. No one helped him. I was here. My brother went to the mortuary to see him. He texted me, saying our cousin brother's body was thrown into a pile of other dead bodies, like sitting on, like lying on top of 5 or 10 other bodies. No one helped. No one attended to him. To this day, I look back at the messages that we shared, and I find it difficult to understand why someone would do that. The more I see these things, the more I witness physical violence, the more I witness the violence in our hearts, the more I cry for Jesus to come. This coming week, this month, the rest of this year, the enemy will do all that he can. He'll play all the cards up his sleeve and try to create situations of anger, of hatred, of jealousy and envy in your hearts. And he will do everything he possibly can to move you away from God. When anger tempts you, choose peace. When dishonesty tempts you, choose truth. When greed tempts you, choose generosity. When hatred tempts you, choose love. All the problems that we come across today might fill our world, but we can always take heart, because our origin is God, and in Him we find our way back to life. The world might forget where it came from, but we know our origin. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. We cannot let culture, we cannot let this world define the standards of our living. We cannot let this world define our morality. Go back to the origin. Go back to the word. Go back to God, who imprinted His law on our hearts. If sin was the origin of death, then Christ is the origin of life. Looking at all of you, I have a lot of faith in you that you're not going to take any weapon and yield it around. The first service was silent, and it caused some concern in me for a moment. But there might be invisible weapons pulling you away from God. Today, if you're concerned that there's something going on in you that might cause separation from God, there will be people here to pray for you. I encourage you to come forward and get prayed. Do not leave this place without getting prayed. If you think you're doing quite well, you're doing okay, still come forward and get prayed, so that you continue to do well this week. There's coffee and chocolate biscuits. God bless you all.